Hey everyone, I'm Chris Hall and this is the Downtime Podcast, where we take you inside the world of mountain biking. This episode is supported by Fit for Racing, and their head coach Johnny Thompson is going to join us to chat about how to make the most of your off-season. Even better, we'll be giving out a 50% discount code for all our listeners. Before we get stuck into that, just a few quick things. In order to keep going and keep bringing you fresh episodes, this podcast needs your support. Here's what you can do. Tell your riding friends. The more listeners we get, the better for everyone. So please let your riding buddies know where to find us and maybe recommend an episode that you've really enjoyed for them to start with. Follow us on social media and get involved with the conversation. We're at Downtime Podcast on Instagram and Facebook and at Downtime Tweets on Twitter. We've also got a closed Facebook group for listeners to share their own tips and tricks. Just search for Mountain Bike Performance Tips and Tricks on Facebook or hit the link in the episode show notes. You can find the show notes and everything you need for the podcast on downtimepodcast.com. There's a subscribe page there that will help you subscribe to the show, meaning you get every new episode delivered to your device for free as soon as it's available. And also on the website, you can visit our shop and grab yourself a t-shirt. They're super nice, organic and ethically produced t-shirts, and the profits from the sale goes towards keeping the podcast going and improving. All right, it's time for this week's guest, and it's Johnny Thompson from Fit for Racing, coach to none other than Adam Brayton. We talked to Johnny about how to make the most of your off-season and with a minimum amount of time, how to get fit and strong to maximise your performance on the bike. Now, there's no magic potion. This is going to require some hard work, but Johnny gives us a couple of routines that he knows will give you great bang for the buck. Johnny's also been kind enough to make a video of the key movements that we discussed in the episode, so you can see how to perform them correctly. You can watch the video on our episode page, which is on our website, downtimepodcast.com, or on Fit for Racing's YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/fitforracing. That's fit, then the number four, then racing. If you like what you hear and you want to take things further, then as a Downtime listener, Johnny's kindly offered a 50% discount off your first month's program. All you need to do is head to their website, fitforracing.com, so that's fit, then the number four, then racing.com. Select the program that you want to take, so there's a downhill and an enduro specific program there, and type the code downtime50 into the checkout. That's downtime and then the number 50. Again, there's a link to their website in the show notes for this episode. All right, there's plenty of great stuff in this one, so without further ado, here's Johnny Thompson. Johnny Thompson, welcome back to the Downtime Podcast. How's life?
Very good, thank you. I'm glad to be back on.
Excellent. Before we wade in, tell us where we are today.
So we're up in my mezzanine office in the Fit for Racing HQ gym in Penrith, Cumbria.
Excellent. So there may be a bit of gym-related noise, grunting,
yes,
in the background.
So yeah, we have a high-level hammer thrower downstairs with one of our strength and conditioning coaches. So I'm expecting some grunts from
her. Excellent. I look forward to that part of it. All right, cool. Before we get stuck into the meat of the episode, for people that haven't listened to your previous episode, which people should go and check out if they haven't, but just give us a quick bit of background on yourself, who you are and what it is you do here.
So I'm a strength and conditioning coach. I used to work in forensics.
Really?
Yeah, which I'm not sure I told you last time.
No.
So it was a bit of a shift, but I guess an analytical view of what I was interested in at the time.
Yeah.
So I used to mountain bike quite a lot, and in the off season, I knew the importance of strength because I educated myself a little bit.
Yeah.
But I kind of saw strength as bodybuilding type movements.
Okay.
And I was quite interested in looking good as well, but that didn't then reflect on the springtime when I got back on my bike. So I was a little bit stronger, but I wasn't good on my bike. And that cycle happened a few years in a row until I basically found CrossFit. So I'd been researching more conditioning type workouts that would support capacity and strength. Uh-huh. And I kept coming across CrossFit workouts. Thought, well, old ladies doing kettlebell swings, I'm not too bothered. But what I did see was that you recorded your times on a website and you could post them and then compare yourself to everyone else.
Okay.
And I picked a workout, Helen, a benchmark workout, which was 400 meter run, 12 pull-ups and 21 kettlebell swings, three times round as quickly as you can. And I timed myself and it absolutely crushed me. And there were people in their 60s beating me. And I was like, well, shit, I might be strong. I might be cardiovascularly fit on my bike. But something in the middle, which later turns out to be this energy system that we might talk about later, this energy system on bike performance is really crucial. So I spent an off-season training simple CrossFit with not much direction, and from then fell in love with it. The capacity building, the sports-related, I suppose education for me was really interesting as an athlete. And then I became a coach and went down the route of helping other people and pretty much giving up biking because I'd found a new competitive outlet that I was totally into, that I could do all weathers. And also, because I'd educated myself very well in that field, I felt like I could help a lot of people that maybe didn't want to spend the time themselves to read the books that I did and do the courses. And it's all the cost as well.
Yeah, true.
So I got a lot of pleasure from seeing these people doing something that was very new to them, a new type of fitness.
Yeah.
That I suppose it's always been around. CrossFit is coined, you know, what is CrossFit? But it's strength and conditioning for performance. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has been lost over the years with global gyms and low-risk machines and that kind of thing. So sometimes when you're looking at, especially for bikers, what to do in a gym, then you go to the default, which is things that you've seen in men's health magazines, which are coming around a little bit to the CrossFit style. But they've not been able to afford a strength and conditioning coach for performance, and it seems a little bit too much for them to even commit to that.
Right.
So what I found is this has kind of bridged the gap. So we're making accessible high-level strength and conditioning for your average Joe bikers, and well, as it happens, high-level bikers as well, by default.
Yeah, so you've got a few big names on the books, right?
Yes, yeah. Well, we've got Adam Brayton. He's our favourite guy for videos.
Yeah.
So he's all over our Facebook and Instagram, simply because he's an absolute weapon and probably the best performing rider that we have at the moment.
Okay.
But we've got numerous all around the world that we program for. And to be honest, when I first started doing the programs and sending them out, off the back of having Adam Brayton, Johnny Walker, so hard enduro, different sport altogether, a few good motocross riders. But, you know, there's a gap here. Some people can help be helped by these online programs. And to my surprise, the market that I was going for was Joe Bloggs, everyone, you know, that maybe just wanted some direction in the gym. But I picked up some really high-level riders that have been following the program for a couple of years with not a lot of interaction, but absolutely crushing it. Performance through the roof, and that's amazing for me, not just for marketing, but to see that these high level, so high skilled riders are benefiting from the general strength and conditioning with a twist towards mountain bike specific.
Yeah,
and that gives me a lot of pleasure.
Cool, and that's all under the Fit for Racing banner, right?
Yes, so Fit for Racing, Fit with a number 4 in the middle. I basically went through, what's the website? GoDaddy, is it?
Oh, for buying, domain names.
Yeah. I spent half a day on there just typing stuff in. I was like, no one's got Fit for Racing. Shall I go buy that for $9 or something? Yeah. So hence Fit for Racing.
All right, cool. Good stuff. Yeah. So we're going to, you know, we mentioned off-season. It's off-season now for a lot of people around the globe.
Yep.
We're going to try and dig into how to make the most of an off season, but also just, you know, in general, kind of how to get fitter and stronger and better on a bike.
Great.
One of the first things I think that most people will throw at you as a reason for why they're not fitter is time.
Always time.
Yeah.
Always
time. Tell us your kind of thoughts on that. Like how much time do you need? Are there kind of time efficient ways to approach getting fitter?
So we absolutely understand, not just for professional riders, but for weekend warriors as well, that time in the gym isn't time on your bike. And you're in a sport which your primary joy comes from riding. So to detract from that, to get a little bit more joy or a little bit more performance on your bike might not be that appealing. Therefore, to say, well, you need to be in the gym 6 days a week doing 2 or 3 hours of this and doing turbo training and putting in the grind, it's not necessary, because as a sport, mountain biking is very physical. So you're getting a lot of benefits in your fitness just by riding. So to support that, going on the other end of the spectrum, what is it that you don't get from the rides themselves? Mm-hmm. The strength and conditioning side, so conditioning being capacity building, but with us, a big emphasis on your ability to move around, your ability to move external objects. So also strengthening whilst building that middle energy system capacity.
Yeah.
So we can condense that down into an hour and a quarter twice a week.
Okay.
So in our programs, we'll send out two essential days.
Yeah.
So these alone would pack so much in that, you know, you can read your program and you get into the gym and you're working for the full hour. You're going through your strength, and then some assistance movements, capacity work, some intervals, some core stuff at the end. And that's all condensed into that an hour and 15, depending on how old you are and stiff and how much warm-up you need. Yeah. But that's really important for us because it's bang for buck.
Yeah.
We do send out 4 days worth of programs for everyone. The third day is an if possible, and the fourth day is like an active recovery slash assistance. So that all depends on the time that you have on the bike. So I suppose to answer your question, 2 days for an hour 15 minutes is enough to really see the difference on the bike.
Yeah.
And those 2 days being consistent. So the trick is not to do 4 days in 1 week and then do 0 days the next week. It's all about consistency.
Yeah. Okay. And if you like, if you spent that time on the bike instead, because everyone obviously, you know, we ride because we enjoy riding.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure most of us would rather be out riding than at the gym.
Yeah.
Is there any way we'd ever get those benefits from riding, or do you really need to spend time on specific kind of loaded movement?
Well, it depends. So there are some benefits that you could get, say, from doing hill sprints. So the intensity things that we do in the gym, that's only to add extra bang for buck at the end of strength sessions, capacity building. So the intensity will help gain more strength, but you also get the added bonus of, you know, getting the short-term energy system, which will help you ride harder and do sprints, obviously, while you're out on the bike. So other than that, you really need to be pushing some weight, especially at the start of the off season, to build absolute strength, which then on the strength continuum will end up being speed, power, endurance on the other end.
Yeah.
If you're out on your bike expecting to be able to do a standing start or to pick it up quickly at any point just by putting in the miles, the continuum doesn't go the other way. So your endurance won't then, by doing more endurance, reflect on your sprint power. It will go the other way, though.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big basis of our programming, is that we get you very strong in the things that are going to then, at the other end, help you with the things that are bike-specific.
Okay, so doing more time on the bike will help your endurance, but that won't give you more power in a sprint necessarily or anything like that. But
not necessarily,
work in the gym to get stronger will help improve your endurance because things become easier, I suppose. You've got more strength.
I mean, don't get me wrong, you could be doing sprint sessions on your bike 3 times a week.
Right.
But let's face it, if you're going to find a hill that's appropriate, the time domains change, because a lot of it as well is variance. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be different. There's going to be different stimulus in the gym than on the bike. And therefore, your body's going to get a little bit more shock. And then it's going to adapt a little bit harder that way.
Yeah.
So that then means that when you're looking at time, the time in the gym is very quality time, and it is very well spent. You don't have to like it. You're likely not going to like it. But by doing that, just for 2 hours a week, it's going to make a big difference. And trust me, if you do hill sprints on your bike 3 times a week, you're not going to enjoy that either. So when you're saying, like, is there something that you can do on your bike because I really love riding? Well, you can go on your bike and you can make yourself not like it. Which isn't the goal, really.
Okay, so 2 hours of quality time during the week is gonna give you way more gains, I guess, and improvement and enjoyment in the sport ultimately than spending those 2 hours riding your bike and adding a few sprints in.
I suppose with a caveat that prioritize quality bike time. So I wouldn't say that if you get 2 hours a week to do anything to be in the gym, be on your bike if you only get 2 hours to do anything at all.
Yeah.
But we're expecting that guys are going to be riding maybe an evening and probably 1 or 2 days at the weekend. So we schedule the program around that.
Okay.
That, you know, we did have a guy, and this was totally my fault, because I clearly didn't communicate well enough at the start, and he'd followed an enduro program over the winter, and he'd not been on his bike one time. And he got back on his bike and he emailed me straight away. He's like, look, Johnny, I don't know what's happened, but your program didn't work. It's like, shit. Well, I didn't realize you weren't spending any time at all on your bike.
Right, okay.
And, you know, if there's, you know, different circumstances and you literally can't be on your bike, then yes, this program, but then supported with the time domain, you know, the longer energy system type stuff that you would get from a weekend ride.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yes, always prioritize the quality bike sessions, but if you're looking to add a little extra just to pick you up a bit more,
yeah,
then time in the gym for sure.
Okay, cool. So talk us through then, you know, let's say we've got 2 hours to get to the gym a week, and we've got maybe one evening for a quick ride and then a day at the weekend for a 4 hour or half day ride.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff should we be doing in those times? And maybe, I don't know if it's worth explaining the energy systems piece at this point.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. So energy systems wise, if you just break it down into short, medium and long, and as I said at the start, you know, I was very much in the short energy system doing the strength work and the long on the bike, missing this big gap in the middle.
Yeah, so what is this piece in the middle then? So short's kind of your high impact, quick stuff, right?
Yes.
Long is your 4 or 5
like
hour.
1 to 3 seconds, like, okay, and then 20 minutes plus on the other side.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily long.
Right.
But the middle energy system, this is why I suppose CrossFit was very popular, because it was very intense middle energy system training.
Okay.
We'll talk about the dangers of CrossFit later. But the efficacy of that done correctly, uh-huh, in the middle, it's just preparing you for stresses that are more like rides, particularly races. Uh-huh. When you put it in and you're on your limit, and then you're having to not just physically move yourself around and be dynamic, but mentally focused as well, which is a big issue for people, mm-hmm, when all they're doing is the other end of the scale. So they're doing the long energy system. They're always quite focused. They're all like able to think well.
Yeah.
But if you don't put yourself in the hole when you get there, maybe you're doing a race and then you get into that hole and it just messes with everything because you're not used to it.
Yeah.
So then you make bad decisions, then you make mistakes, and not only physically unable to get out of them, so that then creates, you know, more risk for injury,
yeah,
but then your mind isn't focused on the task as well.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Did that answer the question? What was the question?
So the different energy systems,
yes,
you're saying a focus on the middle energy system is a good,
yes,
thing to look,
yeah,
at. So tell us a bit more about what that energy system is then and how you work on it.
So traditionally, if you're going out for a weekend ride, say, with your mates, even the evening ride, it's going to be 1 or 2 hours, isn't it? Unless you're doing like an uplift and you're slamming down some hard runs. But even then, the intensity can't be like a race run, uh-huh, because then it becomes dangerous. And then you crash all the time and then it's just not sustainable. So let's just say that the rides are going to be the long energy system.
Okay.
So then we're making that up with short and medium.
Yep.
And the workouts themselves that we do are combinations of movements that are going to be very good and reflect well on your riding.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of dynamic movement, shifting weight as well, your body rotational strength, resistance to rotation carries, so strength building within that middle energy system.
Yeah.
That'll then also support the short energy system. Let's call that the strength gaining part.
Okay.
So if we fill in these two gaps in your performance, mm-hmm, this will then, periodized program,
yeah,
on the other end, help your long energy system. So help your endurance on the other end by getting nice foundations in these two that you might have neglected, might have never done. And that's why often when people try these workouts, they end up being sick.
Right.
And they end up feeling like it's the worst thing they've ever done because they've never really felt like that.
Yeah.
But then off the back of that, that's amazing for us because we can do that in a controlled, safe environment so that when it's race day, I get messages all the time. I'm finishing my races. I could totally go again. So as soon as you remove that element, because,
yeah,
you're only doing it in races, because you're only getting that intensity in races if you're not getting it in the gym.
Uh-huh.
Because like we said, it could be dangerous to hit that intensity while you're riding. So if you remove all of that worry and that physically compromising and mentally compromising situation that you might be in at the end of a race, mm-hmm, then all you can focus on is your skills and committing yourself to the task, which is winning.
Yeah.
And so for me, you have the skills. I can remove all the other variables in your fitness. hopefully improve your mental focus as well by doing that, so that then you're left to what you enjoy most.
Yeah.
Just simply by doing 2 hours of something that you're never going to enjoy.
All right. So I think what you're saying is we're not necessarily going to enjoy the gym bit.
No, I think I've probably said it a couple of times already. Nah, well, it depends what kind of person you are. There's sadists out there, Adam Brayton being one of them. He seeks it out. There are few people that seek it out as he does.
Yeah.
Like intensity, it's a crazy thing. My spin on it is, you know, in the wild, let's say, you're running away from a saber-toothed tiger, then you make a choice. You either tap into an intensity that you've never felt, or you get eaten.
Yeah.
The reason why you don't do that just chasing a gazelle, not that you can chase those down, but, you know, like in everyday life, you wouldn't tap into that intensity, because in nature, that would leave you vulnerable afterwards.
Yeah.
So you're using all of your reserves in that one effort that then, because you've hit it so extreme, is creating physical change. So you are changing to your stresses because they're so crazy. But you have this safety mechanism which you have to fight against. And you can't just think your way around it. It almost has to be like zoned out, you know, in the flow state where you're not even thinking. It's like a primal urge just to keep going. And to be able to tap into that means you're going against your natural instinct, which means that you're going to be on the floor. You might be sick.
Yeah.
It's probably nutrition timing. But you are vulnerable. You're vulnerable to attack. So that safety mechanism and that threshold, you have to get through that and not only feel that way on race day, feel that way once or twice a week.
Yeah.
I mean, twice is like a lot. Might be once a fortnight. But if you haven't felt that way, when you do, when it counts, it's going to be an awful place to be.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I find with any time when I know I've got to do something with high intensity, and it has taken me a while to learn how to almost turn my brain off and get to that point.
Yeah, yeah.
But I dread it. But then afterwards, I feel amazing. There's like a buzz in my body afterwards. Yeah. I can feel my body kind of making change almost. Like it's hard, but it's good.
And that, obviously, there's a lot of chemicals released to encourage that. You know, when you're doing, it depends what kind of high intensity we're talking about. If we're talking about just hard work for sustained, even like 3 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, this middle energy system, that feels great. Endorphins, you know. If we're talking 10 seconds, say 10-second sprint on an assault bike every minute for as long as you can. And what I would suggest is that would be a really good gauge of your ability to tap into that intensity.
Okay.
So if you set a timer, if you make it all the way past 10 minutes, somewhere you're pacing. You're pacing yourself because you're not doing 100% efforts within those 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, is you can do hill sprints, and then if you hit that intensity that we're talking about, you could well fall off your bike just going up a straight road. If you're on an assault bike with arms and legs together,
yeah,
you can be at 100% effort, but the power output might be 5% of what you started at. So the danger isn't there. You can just knuckle down to thinking, right now, on second 8 of 10, I am putting in 100% effort. Power's different, but you do that for 10 seconds. 50 seconds sounds like a lot of time. But if you hit it right, consecutively,
yeah,
it's only going to take you 4 or 5 goals before you literally can't do anything.
Can't do anymore.
Yeah. And you know you've got it when you come off the assault bike or whatever other thing that you've been doing, you've come off that and you feel worse up to 45 minutes later.
Right.
So I've hit intensity workouts, CrossFit benchmark workouts, which I'm not suggesting that you hit with intensity. And this will flip onto the dangers of CrossFit. They expect or have suggested that intensity can be done with high level weightlifting.
Right.
And this is where CrossFit gets a bad rep. So you end up being at the mercy of your technique when you're in this compromised position of trying 100%, but your capacity is at 5.
Right.
You're not then able to do what's expected to stay safe.
Yeah.
So that's why we use the assault bike and sleds and very simple movements to hit into that, so that then, you know, the form breakdown doesn't then compromise your safety.
Okay.
However, I have done CrossFit workouts with medium to heavy weight and other movements and found that intensity. And immediately after, felt absolutely fine. And then a couple of minutes after, started feeling a bit shady. couple of minutes, and then 45 minutes after, like, almost comatose. And it is a really weird feeling, yeah. Because, you know, it goes against what you would normally feel, that you would recover straight after you'd finished. That would be the worst that you felt, yeah. And then you would recover from then. But it's odd.
Yeah, yeah.
Very odd. But I challenge you to try that and get into that state. And if you have, and if you do that, then it will change you, yeah. Mentally and physically. Yeah. Massive mental change.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right, good stuff. So let's talk a bit more then about what those 2 hours might involve. So we're going to do 2 one-hour sessions roughly a week. What kind of... Well, I guess it's worth mentioning, you're going to put together a little video of some of what we talk about.
Yeah, so we want the guys listening to have a lot of benefit from this. So it's all well and good me talking about, you know, intensity of running away from saber-toothed tigers and shit. You need to see it. So the structure is really important. So if you're going to go to the gym and you think, right, well, Johnny said all this stuff, how do I implement that? So if you're going to do 2 days in the gym at this point in the season, it could even be mid-season, you know, depending on your level of athlete that we're talking about. If they want to increase strength and on the back end be a better rider, then we're going to be doing some kind of squat or lunge on day one as a part A. So let's break it into part A, B, and C. Okay. Each of those days have 3 elements.
Yeah.
A strength element at the start, an assistance element, and a finisher.
Mm-hmm.
So the strength element on day one could be a squat or a lunge.
Yeah.
On day two, it could be a pull from the ground or an upper body focus. Then we might flip those depending on the week. That would mean that the part B, so that's assistance / capacity. And this is where it gets into the really effective bang for buck training.
Okay.
So if you were to follow a strength bias program, any strength program written by a strength and conditioning coach to specifically get stronger, then you would have rest, and you would have the most effective rest for reps, etc., which is great for strength. But what we want to do is maintain capacity, not have too much drop off, because you guys are still practicing at weekends. So we add the assistance movements into a workout.
Mm-hmm.
So on day one, it might be squats, say 5, lots of 5 with 2 minutes rest. You get optimum rest for pushing a reasonably heavy weight. A good way to do that as well is work up to a 5-rep technical max.
Right.
So what we're talking about is when you start feeling your form change.
Okay.
So it's not an absolute max. Like if you don't make it, I'm going to murder your family kind of max.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone
can
do those,
yeah.
But then you compromise yourself. So work up to a 5-rep technical max and then do 4 more sets at 90%. So you get the volume in safely. You know you're going to do that. With 2 minutes rest, it's enough time to recover between.
2 minutes rest between sets, yeah?
Between sets, yeah. So you do your 5, you're working up with reasonable increments on your way up. You hit your 5 that's heavy, like, well, that one was a good one. I felt like a little twisting maybe, or I felt like my core was about to give out. Then you reduce and you keep it safe, put some volume through. Rest 5 minutes between that and the workout itself.
Mm-hmm.
And because we've been doing squats on part A, we might be doing some lighter pulling from the ground. So we might be doing what we're going to be doing on day 2, but a lighter weight for volume, with no rest in between other things that are completely different. So it might be pulling from the ground, so deadlift, kettlebell swings, into upper body, so dips, bear crawls, carries, anything like that. Or it might be that it's a cardio piece.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be pulling against a rowing machine and squats as an assistance to the squats that we did, but a lightweight generating power, so wall balls.
Yeah.
So it might be throwing a ball against a wall in a big squat position before.
So these are big heavy.
So it'd be say 9 kilos, 15-foot target, 10-foot target, and you're going to drive out the bottom of a squat and you're going to extend, and then you can mix up the numbers depending on your goal that day. So it depends where you're at in the season as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is do you want muscular endurance? Do you just want capacity for assistance of the first part? And so choosing the numbers is a tricky thing.
Okay. Right.
So you might say, I'll do 50 wall balls and 2 calories on the rower, or like 100 meters. And that's not going to fit right. So you need to find the balance that just before your body's going to stop, you're going to mix it up and throw in a different exercise.
Okay.
So it might be 5 rounds of 15 wall balls, so you can push to your limit, just make 15. Yeah, your form might break down a little bit, but the weight's less. So actually controlling a little bit of the variable position of the ball is good for riders.
Yeah.
And then hopping onto a rowing machine and doing, say, 15 calories, 20 calories, which might be about 250 meter row.
Yeah.
That combination means that you can push as hard as you can on both, maintaining it, and then you're getting the assistance from the squat, so strength gaining, your capacity is raised, and you're not beating yourself down on just doing a single movement, say like running for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting extra benefits from that because they're a lot more dynamic. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think so. So
yeah.
Squats, 5 sets.
Yeah, 5x5 squats.
Yeah.
5 rounds of 15 wall balls, yeah, and 250 meter row.
So that 5 rounds is wall balls 15.
Yep.
Then the rower.
Yep.
Then back on the wall balls and rest?
Zero rest.
Zero.
Absolute minimal rest. And you'll find yourself pushing into being very uncomfortable to make those 15. And this is a really good point to put in here, is that if you can find someone to do this with, then find them.
Right.
Because it will hold you accountable for the rest that you're taking that you know you don't need.
Okay.
And gamifying it, because if you're a racer and you want to practice racing more and being uncomfortable, you can race your friend.
Yeah.
And these are reasonably danger-free movements to be able to do that.
Okay.
It's just going to add more intensity.
Yeah.
And then that is pretty much redlining that workout.
Right.
And a finisher, depending on what we've done before. So, yeah, we've done a fair bit of leg work. The finisher might be some core work with an emphasis on stability through the shoulder. So
okay,
it might be planks with a set of rings or a TRX.
Yeah.
Something in the way you're supporting yourself. And it might even be some pressing in
okay
there. So we know that we can recover from, say, squats in a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've got there is squats, pulling from the ground, or pulling motion, and some upper body.
Yeah.
And so that's a very well-balanced one-hour session. So traditionally, if you're following a strength program, it would be split. So you 3-day split, like bodybuilders, you do upper body, you do squats, and you do arms
yeah
or something. And that's a full week between. And we know that you can recover faster than that. So pack that all into one day.
Yeah.
And not only are you getting strong, you're getting better at dynamic movement.
Yeah.
Hitting that intensity and capacity whilst doing the assistance movements for the squat, and then some upper body stability, which is very important for riders.
Okay.
Day two.
Yeah. So before we go to day two,
yeah,
how much rest do we need between day one and day two?
That's absolutely up to you.
Okay.
I would suggest a full day. So
yeah,
if you did that on a Monday, I'd suggest that you wouldn't do day two until Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
If you're only doing 2 days, I'd do Monday and Thursday.
Okay.
And it depends then as well what you're doing at the weekend riding-wise, because you don't want it to impact your ride on a Saturday, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a Monday, Wednesday would be better.
Okay. So leaving some gap between,
yes,
between your training and your weekend activities.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Right then, day two.
Day two, so we've done heavy squats on day one, so we'll do a heavy pull from the ground, but also heavy upper body. So it might be, let's say, 7 sets of 3 deadlifts.
Yeah.
Because we're going for absolute strength at this part of the season, so we're keeping the reps lower, rest more, but we're going to superset it. Superset being you choose another 1 or 2 movements that aren't going to be the same type of muscle that you've done.
Okay.
So like we did in the workout, in day one, we're doing a similar thing with a little bit of rest. So it'll be 3 deadlifts,
yep,
as heavy as you can. So let's go technical max again, or thereabouts. And we're going to be around 90-95% of that throughout all 7. So we're going to extend the rest.
Yeah.
So 3 reps deadlift, and then you're going to go straight into pull-ups. So wide grip, strict pull-ups, as many as you can.
Okay.
And then you're going to rest as long as it takes to be able to do that again.
Yeah.
And then you can do that 7 times round.
So strict pull-ups all the way to a straight arm.
Yeah, absolutely. All about range.
Yeah.
So don't be tempted to jump on a bar and do start with a bent arm position just to reduce your range so that you can get your chin over. The goal of this movement is not to get your chin over the bar. The goal of this movement is to get as much range through your shoulder initiated by your lats as possible. So you could use a lat pull down machine, or you can hook a band around the rig and put your knee or foot into it to assist you with the motion.
Okay.
Now, this might be a bit of an ego hit, and you might have seen a few of the videos that we've put out with the motocross riders not doing full reps on pull-ups, and that is simply because they're racing and they don't care whether they show themselves up on social media for doing half reps.
Fair enough.
Right? So that's a different point. You know, that the purpose of a workout with intensity isn't necessarily what the purpose is of this part A on day two,
yeah.
which is full range movements,
okay.
assisted if you have to.
Yeah.
And then the second part of this might be a an incentive type workout. So we might do, say, on the minute, every minute, mm-hmm. and choose movements to do within that. Let's say we want a little bit more capacity this time, so we're going to do 3 minutes. We're going to go 7 times round, so it's a 21-minute total workout. Mm-hmm. On minute one, you're going to do 200-meter run. Rest until the start of minute two.
Okay.
Then you're going to do, let's say, burpees. But burpees alone suck. So we're going to slam in some other movements. So one of my favorites, so this is a bit of a test that we do with the guys. So 200-meter run, and then it'll be on minute two, 3 burpees, 5 box jumps, and 7 wall balls.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah.
So you've got those yeah, 3 yeah. movements to fit in within the minute.
Yeah.
And then on minute 3, just choose something that you really enjoy doing.
And this is a pint.
Who are you? That's a different kind of work. That's like a Friday night workout.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that's like Centurion, right? On the minute, every minute.
Yeah, it'd be a messy workout.
Yeah, that would, absolutely.
Oh, it'd be some kind of sort of fairly aerobic, yeah, challenging
so,
movement.
Yeah, so let's think. We've done capacity, so we've done aerobic, yeah. 200-meter run. We're doing very dynamic, 3 movements within the yeah. next minute. Might actually be something pretty heavy.
Okay.
So a carry. So yeah. that'll be very different from the others. Still going to be heart rate busting. It's still going to be capacity, but it might be farmer carry. So
okay.
pick up 2 handles, pick up a ball, an Atlas stone, something very heavy, a yoke.
Yeah.
All of these things, if you don't know what they are, just pick something up that's awkward.
Get something heavy and awkward.
A person.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Pick your friend up.
Yeah.
If you're doing this with somebody,
yeah.
then you can do the run together, you can do the burpees and the box jumps and wall balls, and then take it in turns, so you do 30 seconds of carry
yeah.
each. And then that'd be really good.
You Job might done.
Bond a little bit more with your pal.
be some funny looks in the gym.
Yeah. And then the finisher on day two, so this is, it's quite, so what we've got, three elements of each day.
Yeah.
The finisher on day two is going to be intensity that we talked about, and it's going to be 10 seconds of all-out effort, as long as it takes. So set the timer for 10 minutes. If you make it there, then just forget about it. Come back the next time and
yeah.
try and hit intensity even more. Don't be tempted to do more than 10 seconds. So don't be going up to 20, 30 seconds and thinking, great, I'm doing more, doing 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off. That's changed it to a different kind of workout. What we want is that absolute blast
yeah.
and then the rest of 50 seconds.
Yeah. So just wind back quickly then, that middle bit, that's 3
yep.
minutes. You call it incentive. So the incentive is the quicker yep. you do it, the more rest you get.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
No rest between each set of 3 minutes, no?
No, so it'll go minute one. So you set the timer for 21 yeah. minutes
right,
total.
Okay.
Minute one, you do the run. Minute two, you do burpee, box jump, wall ball. Minute
yeah.
three, you do carry.
Yeah.
And then
you're straight back round
yeah,
to minute one again
around.
Until you get to 21.
A rule of thumb, if you don't get, so if it's the run and you don't have 10 seconds before the next thing, you're going to blow up.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's the burpee, wall ball type thing, maybe about 45 seconds. And then the carry, I'd actually reduce that to probably 30 seconds of work or less.
Okay.
So it's going to be impactful on you, probably like 25, 30 seconds, very heavy.
Yeah.
And you're going to be able to recover for the next part. So this is a good way to learn pacing as well
mm-hmm.
and choosing reps that are going to be appropriate to sustain.
Yeah.
But don't be one of these perfect form guys. This is an opportunity to tap into a little bit of intensity. We're going to do the intensity at the back end, but capacity
uh-huh.
with lots of different types of movement.
Yeah.
So there's nothing in there that's going to hurt you too bad if your form goes. Obviously, picking up farmer handles from the ground is a deadlifty type squat movement, always bracing your spine, keeping your midline stability. but you should be able to do that anyway whilst you're fatigued.
Yeah.
And then putting it down, just drop it on the floor. Okay. And you don't have to worry about it after that. It's runs and burpees and stuff again.
Excellent. And then any rest between that and your intensity piece at the end, or are you straight in? You do get a rest. Yeah. Okay.
So you need to be fully recovered from that.
Okay.
When I say fully recovered, your muscles aren't sore and burning. You got your breath back, your heart rate's back down. So probably
a few minutes.
Yeah, 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. And then you're into the intensity piece for as long as you can hang on, basically.
Yeah.
But like you said, if you're hanging on for 20 minutes doing that, you're not intense.
No. You're in that fat burning zone.
yeah.
You know, you're just going through the motions. Volume isn't necessarily the best here. We're going for quality. And what is the purpose of each of those things?
Yeah.
The purpose of the first element is absolute strength. The purpose of the second is lots of movements, mixing it up so that you get 21 minute capacity workout that contributes to strength and dynamic effort and all that kind of thing. And then the third one is intensity, absolute intensity. So if you identify the purpose of the workout before you do it, then you're meeting your expectations.
Yeah.
If your expectation is just to work for an hour because you feel like volume is best and working for an hour is going to get you fitter, then you're wrong. And you have to think,
So working hard and fast is actually, it's beneficial. It's not only takes less time.
Yes, yeah. Because as a rider and you're out at the weekends and you're doing these longer rides, just social rides, let's say, then why then do that in the gym? Why then put yourself in the gym when you could be out on your bike again?
Yeah.
I'd rather you were out on your bike than on a rowing machine for 40 minutes in the gym trying to build your capacity.
Yeah.
If you have no other option, then yes, get on the rowing machine and do it for 40 minutes to build your capacity if that's appropriate in the program. But get on your bike to do that kind of time domain stuff.
Okay, cool. And then would there be any difference between what you kind of just outlined between a kind of a DH focus and an enduro focus?
Yes. Okay. So what we're looking at this stage in the program, in the off season, is that we're building absolute strength. So for downhill focus, that absolute strength is going to be moving into speed and power.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep that speed and power. For the enduro, we're going to be speed, power, a lot more endurance on the other end. And so when we're looking at the continuum, we might cut the enduro strength cycle short to allow for more endurance on the other end.
Okay.
So that's going to periodize in. Everyone's starting at a similar kind of place. But also with the enduro, we expect that guys are going to be racing over the weekend and spending a bit more time on the bike.
Yeah.
Downhill is pretty much, you know, they'll do their practice rides, but uplifts and stuff, there's a lot less of them. So we're going to be focusing more on the time domain stuff specific for racing, particularly after Christmas. So we'll be doing general absolute strength. We'll be doing keeping the capacity up with the assistance movements, very similar to the workouts that we described.
Yeah.
We'll be adding the intensity this stage, but we're not going to be doing a lot of the longer, slow, the low effort.
Yeah.
Building of endurance, because we just don't need that right now.
Yeah.
We might add some of that into the enduro stuff to just keep that capacity high, but only if it's, say, a deload week. So we're going to reduce the weight so that we not just keep slamming. We still need to take time off of the weight, but we can add some of that longer, slow state stuff.
Okay.
So there is differences between the two programs.
Yeah.
Base around, you know, what they're going to be doing over the time that they're training the most in the gym, and the expectation on the other end. So on the other end, downhill, as the program is going to look like 3 to 6 minutes of hard effort with a gap in between repeats. You know, that's going to make up a lot of their training program on the other side once they've got those foundations.
You're talking closer to the season start.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so on the enduro side, that might be a similar kind of workout in between some long, slow stuff.
Right.
With no rest.
Yeah.
So it might be a 50-minute workout with the same efforts in between as the downhill type ride, but without full rest.
Okay.
And so we're building that ability to move around external objects and yourself, the dynamic stuff, whilst you're fatigued. Cool. And learning to recover while still like pushing forwards.
Cool. All right, good stuff. If we really are struggling to be able to get to a gym, or we're away on holiday or whatever and we haven't got any access and we still want to keep training, are there kind of movements and exercises that we can do at home either with body weight or with the kind of general stuff that most people have?
Yes, yeah. So our program is only really effective if you've got a lot of money and you've got an amazing home gym,
right,
with squat rack, bars, benches, dumbbells, boxes, bands,
yeah,
all of these things. But if you haven't got any of that, or you have zero desire to go to a gym, mm-hmm, then there's always things that you can do at home. Time under tension in positions where you're getting full range through your hips, particularly for, right, performance. So let's say, so a squat. So when you're in the gym, like we said on day one previously, we're going to load up a barbell to put some load through you. Mm-hmm. If you only have body weight, then you're going to try and make that hard for yourself by doing a squat, say, on one leg.
Okay.
And then it's putting extra pressure on you, putting more load than if you're doing two.
Yeah.
Because you could do, you could stand and you could do 300 air squats and you might be totally fine. Trying to do 150 each leg, single leg squats, is going to be completely different.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a different stimulus for you, so that then you can build strength still. Maybe not quite as effective as loading up with external objects. So, mm-hmm, maybe you could improvise. Maybe you could pick up, I don't know, water drums, okay, something like, yeah, that. Yeah, anything, yeah, that you have kicking around in your garage. Overhead squat your mountain bike.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Unless it's for a picture at the top of a hill and you're proud of doing some overhead squats. So single leg stuff, really good.
Yeah.
Push-ups, absolutely. Don't be going all Bruce Lee, two-finger push-ups on one arm. If you can, brilliant.
Yeah.
Something that's difficult maybe at home is the pulling. So being able to pull, like the pull-up bar, if you buy any piece of equipment and you want to do it at home,
right,
get a pull-up bar. And then from there, you can hook some rings on.
Yeah.
So primary, you get pull-up bar and you do some pull-ups, because you can always push against the ground and do push-ups, even handstand press-ups.
Okay.
You know, if you to that level, or loading up different angles. So like getting into a down dog position, if you're familiar with that through yoga,
yeah,
where you're basically in a pike and your bum's high in 90 degrees, and then you can start pushing overhead,
okay,
against the ground. So all of these things you can do, but really pulling is difficult. So
right,
pull-up bar, Mike, I don't know what they cost from Argos, the door ones.
Not a huge amount, I don't,
yeah,
think.
Yeah, or improvise, you know, you can get a fabricator to do it,
yeah,
if you know anybody.
Yeah. TRX, that
worth? TRX, yes. Not worth the money that you spend on it for the brand, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah, there's some alternatives though, yeah?
Yeah, rings, gymnastic rings.
Yeah.
You get a set of those and you pick them up on eBay for next to nothing. And they would hook up nicely over a pull-up bar.
Yeah, or in your garage, or yeah, wherever you can get them. Yeah.
Yes. So rings are great for creating instability. So what we're looking for is creating more demand. So if you're just going to do regular press-ups in your bedroom,
yeah,
you know, you're a teenager, you're going to do 1,000 press-ups, you just watch Cobra Kai. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Definitely watch it.
Oh, I'll check it out.
Yeah. I watched the first episode, I came to the gym, I'm doing 1,000 press-ups, I'm all fired up. It didn't happen.
Awesome.
So yeah, just press-ups, press-ups, press-ups.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you in as much, because, you know, you can add more stimulus by putting rings for, yeah, instability, but that also creates more instability through your core.
Okay.
And what we always want to remember is the purpose of a lot of these movements isn't just to build upper body strength, but it's to be able to use that with the rest of your body.
Yeah, to knit it all together with a strong,
yeah,
core.
Yeah, so let's create more instability by doing push-ups, not just on rings, but on one foot.
Yeah.
And then you link in balance and your lower half with your upper half through your midline.
Yeah.
And it's so important for riding that your midline is your strongest,
okay,
of all parts of your body. And, yeah, that's why compound movements, so big full body movements, are really important.
Yeah.
So that then you're not isolating. And this is a mistake that I made years ago, was looking towards bodybuilding for strength. And what you're doing there is you're isolating a muscle that doesn't fit in with the whole system.
Yeah.
And traditionally, bodybuilders wouldn't do a lot of core work, because to be their purpose of those movements is to make individual muscles bigger,
mm-hmm,
but keep the shape of a bodybuilder, a V shape. So, yeah, when they're on stage, it makes them look even bigger. So they don't want thick cores. So they wouldn't do things like deadlifts, maybe, that would thicken the strength through the midline, mm-hmm. because then they wouldn't have that shape.
Yes, yeah, so it's purely cosmetic. It's not a useful...
Exactly.
It's not a useful strength.
No. And I did find that I was compromised through my midline because I didn't do that much.
Right.
And don't be fooled into doing beach abs. So lots of crunches, dynamic type things, holds. So for me, your midline, the primary objective for your midline is to resist stress, rotation, and pressures, moving it out of alignment. So if you can bear that in mind whilst you're doing these movements, like ring press-ups, then you know you get the extra bang for buck. You know, you could do 100 press-ups regularly and then do some plank, or you could do some one-footed ring press-ups and combine those for less time, more stimulus, therefore better on your bike.
Cool. So it is possible then to get fit without access to a gym.
Yes,
maybe absolutely. A small investment in a couple of bits of kit at home.
And if you had absolutely nothing, then you can make up workouts. Go and find a hill to run up. I would suggest not doing it on your bike so that you don't end up hating riding up hills. If you absolutely want to, then yes. But running is absolutely fantastic. Hill running for that intensity. So run up a hill, walk back down, do 15 burpees, do 10 rounds.
Yeah.
You know, doing something like that is going to be better than just going out for a 5K run. You know, it's mixing it up so that, like we're talking about, mixing the stimulus so that your body is reacting to that and then adapting and becoming better at the things that are more like riding.
Yeah.
So hitting the deck, jumping back up in a burpee, it's going to be really dynamic and you're controlling your body well, coordination, balance, all that stuff.
Yeah. Cool. Good stuff. Any thoughts on kind of the motivational side of things? Because it's pretty hard, for most people to get motivated to go to the gym.
Yes.
It's going to be even harder for them to get themselves motivated to go to the gym and really kind of push themselves, which is what you're asking. And, you know, you've explained the benefits of it.
Yeah.
But any kind of thoughts on like tips or tricks of how to convince your mind to get there?
So two really good things. Habit for me. Now I'm in a state where it's harder not to go to the gym because it is part of me. This is what I do, probably like riding for you guys. So if you can build a habit of it, then you set a time and a day. Don't feel like you've fallen off the wagon if you miss one of those. So the thing about habit is it takes a while to get involved in it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can go too far as well, and it can become obsessional because you've just built a habit of doing it so often that when you can't do it, it's hard to break the habit again. And so your wife's like, you're going to the gym too much. I know. This is what actually happened to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my wife and my mum were going to do an intervention.
Wow.
Like, I know what I'll do. I'll open a gym.
Then they can't stop.
And then they can't stop. I'm going to work.
Classic.
That's semi-truth. Yeah. That, but.
And there's something around like 21 days or something like that to try. And
yes.
You've got to commit a decent chunk of time.
So let's say this time of year, you're going into the off season, just commit yourself a month, say, right, for November or December, I'm going to go to the gym twice a week. I'm going to try and get there on a Monday and a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And to make that easier is the second part to this is accountability. Tell your friend you're going and bring them with you.
Yeah.
And you might both hate it while you're there, but knowing that the other person has gone without you is going to be harder than just letting yourself down. And also, when you're there with your friend, these workouts can be racing, which is really, really effective, which means that you can get extra benefit within that hour that you're there.
Good stuff, good tips. And then any thoughts on measuring, well, maybe not measuring, but giving people a way to see how their progress is going? Like, are there any metrics, anything you recommend measuring? Or
so you can, if you want, go to university laboratories and do lactic threshold tests and all that kind of thing. But for me, and this is probably a touchy subject, maybe, because I'm not selling my services to big teams, where I'm selling myself or the program to somebody that maybe doesn't know so much about strength and conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that I'm selling on the efficacy of the riding at the other end, and to people that don't necessarily need any other metric other than I'm better on my bike.
Yeah.
They don't want to spend the time and the money to get those things. And I personally don't want to take that from them just to justify what I've done,
yeah,
or validate the training that I've asked them to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was selling my services to a team manager, then I would say, look, at the start of the off season, your athlete was there.
Yeah.
And then at the start of the season, next season, they're there, and there. So their strength has gone up, the capacity, lactic threshold. And that's me selling myself on metrics. Has it made them a better rider? You can't tell that off them just being fitter.
Yeah.
That fitness might have taken them 10 or 20 hours a week and they've not been on the bike at all. I've done my job as a strength and conditioning coach, but I haven't done my job as a bike sport specific coach.
Yeah.
You see, the difference is that we want people to go out, and that's why a lot of this stuff, you are continually getting better. If you're new to this type of training, you're not going to be taking a back step at any point. You're always going to be making changes. There's going to be focus on strength, but it's not absolute strength to the detriment of your riding. So you will, in a few weeks' time, feel the difference on your bike.
Okay.
And you will see that, and you will be more confident.
Yeah.
And you don't need to see a piece of paper that says my lactic threshold is this, and it was that.
Yeah.
By all means, please do it. I have had guys that have done it, and on the other end, they didn't tell me they were going to do it, and they've come back and said, this is amazing. The results are absolutely amazing. Fantastic. I want more people to do that, but only if you want to.
Okay, fair enough. And so it sounds like you're pretty confident in people seeing the results when they get out on a bike. How long do you think, for most people anyway, it would take to start to feel some benefit? How much time do people need to invest? Because we're all impatient, right? We've got Amazon one click and it turns up tomorrow.
Absolutely.
That doesn't happen with fitness, does it?
It doesn't, no. You're right. And it depends, absolutely depends on the individual. Your training age, let's say. How long have you been training? So you might be in your mid-20s, but you've been training for 10 years already. So the adaption is going to be slower.
Okay.
And if you've done this type of training, then maybe it's slower still. However, if you're new to training or you've been doing anything that doesn't look like this type of training, it could be very quick. It could be within a couple of weeks. I mean, I'm a bit skeptical. Some guys have sent messages over, I've been on the program for 2 weeks, I'm already feeling the benefits, I feel really good on the bike, but I don't know where they've come from and whether they've never been in a gym and never done anything, even, let's say, rotational.
Yeah.
And they've been at a desk job for 10 years. And then they're going to feel better. Of course they are, because they're opening up.
Yeah.
But in reality, I'd give it 2 or 3 months.
Okay.
So I give it a good go before you start considering, is this working for me? A lot of guys will come from high volume backgrounds, and lowering the volume might be a bit of a step in the uncomfortable, because they like doing a lot and they feel comfortable doing more. Strip it back, trust the program, do less. Not just for the sake of saving time, but it will be more effective on the other end.
Okay.
But if you're in that position, give it 2 or 3 months.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. So you're, like you said, you've got online programs. It's like, is it a monthly thing people sign up?
Yes. Yeah. So it's a subscription.
Yeah.
So you would sign up, say, today. What's the date today? I don't know.
It's a good question. Somewhere.
So let's say you sign up today. Yeah. Then you make a PayPal payment. It's automated. Today, you get an email through with a description of a test week. So this is for your own benefit for weights. So we'll do 3 rep maxes in there.
Okay.
We'll do 2K row.
Yeah.
We'll do body weight movement tests so that during the program, you can do some percentage work.
Okay.
We can have an idea of pacing and numbers for things like pull-ups, press-ups, burpees during workouts.
Yeah.
And so it's to kind of set you up so you have an understanding. Then the following Sunday, you'll get the week's program. So if you signed up on the Saturday, you'll probably get the week's program on the Sunday. Don't worry about it.
Right.
That's just because you're on the system then
to
receive them. Take a look at them, but prioritize the tests.
Yeah.
Then every week, every Sunday night, the programs come out on a PDF. You take a look at them, and I'll film myself with it in front of the camera doing some descriptions. So right. how the workout should feel, what the movement involves, the purpose of each workout, which is really important to understand before you go.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time I've tried the workouts and I can give you my experience.
Right.
And it's pretty much always bad. So, you know, you might get a bit nervy on a Sunday night to see what's coming out, but that's good. That's the purpose of that. And so then automated,
yeah.
a payment will come out the same date the next month.
Right.
Unless you send me a message the day before that.
Okay.
So we're pretty confident in the program. If you don't enjoy it, it's not working for you time-wise, which would be a lie because we said 2 hours. You don't have the facility, maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's something that's come up.
Yeah.
Or injuries. So we have guys, they injure themselves. And for me, there shouldn't be a minimum term because that means if you injure yourself, then you're paying for nothing.
Yeah.
If you don't dig the program, then you're paying for something you're not enjoying just because you believed me at the start. So that should be on me and not you for believing someone that sold it to you. So believe me, if you don't dig it at the end of the month, send us a Facebook message, say, I want to cancel, or you can log in yourself and it's entirely in your control to log into the website and cancel it. But it's not one of these things where it's difficult.
Okay.
Cool. We really don't want people to feel like it's a massive commitment. What we really want people to do is think, right, I'm going to give this a go because I know it's super easy to cancel if I don't like it.
Yeah.
And to make it even easier, I suppose we should mention the code.
Yes.
So on the website, if you listen to this podcast, and they'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put links in.
Downtime50, add that in as a discount code and your first month will be 50%. So it's £22.50 if you're in the UK. God knows what that is in dollars around the world. I mean,
different every day.
Yeah, but that'll make it a reasonable amount that you can have 1 month go at it, get lots of information that even at the end, if you didn't like it, we'll give you all that money back. Right. If you did like it, but you don't want to pay any more money, then it's £22.50 for a lot of education, experience in this type of training. And I wouldn't suggest just repeating that month because the stimulus will be different and periodized programs, but it's a massive, massive value.
Okay. And then that, if you carry on month by month, £45 a month.
£45
and it's different, every week's different?
Every week is different. Yeah. So throughout the year, so you might think it's a 12-month plan and I just churn it through. But as with everyone, you learn more, you get more experience, you get more feedback.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be right for me to just churn through 12 weeks or 6 months or even a year and look back at what we did last year.
Yeah.
We're better than that now.
Okay.
So with our current education, the feedback from the riders, every single week is different. So underlying that, we have blueprints for strength cycles within it.
Yeah.
But the workouts themselves are always different. We do some benchmarking workouts. So for yourself, you might repeat a workout that you did 3 months ago and be like, damn, I'm so much better at that. I'm like, yes, but you're better on the bike. don't prioritize that. So for me, it's really important to keep fresh and keep exciting. And it's not one of these where Monday is squat every single week. We just change the numbers, you know, and the workout is, you know, on the minute, every minute, every Wednesday. You know, we mix it up so that the stimulus is always different. The variance is crucial as well.
Yeah. Cool. Good stuff. Yeah, keeps people fresh and interested and, keeps the body guessing and changing. And
I mean, we'll throw things in there that are really awful.
Yeah.
And it's challenging. And always, you know, I've been questioned before. I did 1,000 burpees one time. Strength and conditioning coach, why on earth would you do that? You'd always say it's character building. Take it or leave it. There's always an option, but sometimes we throw things in there that are just a grind.
Yeah.
And they are to build you as a stronger human being.
Yeah, yeah.
Physically, but mentally, absolutely.
Yeah, which, you know, racing is a lot of it's mental, so being strong mentally is pretty
important.
You
can own it in the gym. And literally today, I've had two guys message thanking me. I don't know if I'd said something on the Sunday night program that inspired them to text me and say, oh, Johnny, I'd just really like to say that riding is the easy part now. You know, getting in the gym and going through the grind for them makes the riding the easy thing.
Yeah.
And for me, that's the best thing because they get on the bike and they do what they're enjoying and they do it really well. And then the risk is reduced, their enjoyment is increased, And at the back end, their performance.
Yeah.
You know, some of these guys are getting picked up by sponsors. It's life-changing. I could be one of those coaches that works with like super obese people and get pleasure from changing their lives. I need to relate to someone. So from the biking background, if I can facilitate somebody being picked up by a sponsor and that being their main profession, their job, that is amazing.
Yeah,
that would have been the best thing in the world. So that gets me going, being able to facilitate that for people.
Good stuff. So if people want to have a look, where's the website? We'll put a link in the show notes, obviously. Yep. But
www. Does anyone even say that anymore?
I don't know. I think that's a given.
Fitforracing.com.
And it's fit for the number four, yes, racing.com.
Cool. Just search. We've got a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So if you subscribe to that, you get the good quality videos on there. Obviously, Facebook. So we cross post from YouTube to Facebook, Instagram, a little bit of snappy stuff on there.
Yeah.
But we try and do really informative videos. So we'll do sample workouts. So if you're still on the fence, take a look at the videos and there'll be some more sample workouts that we've previously done on there.
Yeah.
Some movement explanations, difference between squats and hinges and that kind of stuff. So if you want to educate yourself, we try and do an education through that. But also off the back of that, today, the things that we've been talking about, we will then put into a video so that someone can watch it and understand maybe when we're talking 5x5 squats, what does that actually look like? Where are the dangers? What should we be looking at for performance-related movement, let's say?
Perfect. And that'll be on the YouTube channel. And
that'll be on the YouTube channel, yeah.
We'll put links in the show notes so you can get to that.
Perfect.
Wicked. Yeah. Well, we've pretty much at the end of our time for today. We've got three questions that we've asked most of our guests. I don't think we asked you last time, and I'm not sure why, but there you go. So we'll just hit up those real quick.
Yeah.
I might know the answer to the first one, but if our listeners had, let's say, £150 to improve their performance on a bike, what would they spend it on? So what if we said they can't spend it on the Fit program. For Racing program?
Then either a pull-up bar and rings for the house if you're not into gyms, or like a £12 a month anytime fitness membership.
Yeah.
And so the financial commitment is less, but get yourself a training partner to stay accountable.
Yeah.
And get yourself to the gym twice a week, just twice a week, once an hour. And with your partner, you can discuss and always ask the question, why are we doing this workout today? Agree it, that it's to be better at riding. You're not training with your bodybuilding pal that's going to stag doing Magaluf in 12 weeks and they just want better abs.
Yeah.
I mean, by all means, do that if it gets you going. But for riders, find another rider of any kind of discipline as well. So even if you went in with a motocross rider and you're a downhiller and you train together, it's going to be better than just going in and pottering on.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, if you could wind back the clock and sit down with yourself age 16, what advice would you give him?
Start purposefully training, so with some direction. I would have educated myself a lot sooner.
Yeah,
I would have found myself a coach,
right?
A good coach that could have directed me, because that, and now it's the modern age. Everyone's a coach. You got life coaches. My Asda delivery guy's stopping working there to be a life coach. I'm like, are you serious?
Wow. So I'm like, it's a change.
Yeah, that is a change. But find someone that's done it, lived it, and you can trust and believe in, and get them to direct you.
Yeah.
And regardless of the cost. I mean, this isn't me pitching my... I don't do coaching.
Yeah.
I simply can't afford the time to be able to coach people individually. That's why we do these programs. Because I think it's bang for buck. It's very good value.
Yeah.
If you wanted my services one-on-one, it would cost too much. So I wouldn't be able to help the people that I felt good about. So I would tell myself, find yourself a really good coach.
Yeah.
Understand why you're doing things physically, mentally. And that also helps with the direction in your life. I'd say it has for me.
Yeah.
I'm a multiple gym owner and I get to do what I love every single day. Don't believe your parents when they say you don't have to enjoy work. Just enjoy the things you do with the money you get from work. It's a lie. You can enjoy work. You can enjoy doing the thing that you really want to do. If that's mountain biking, then commit yourself fully to being the best mountain biker.
Yeah.
And then when you are the best, then you don't have to worry about work.
Very true. Very true. And then the last question, if you could have a coaching session with anybody, who would it be and what would you want to learn? We normally do that as a riding thing. Maybe we could have one rider and one, like, someone in the strength and fitness, strength and conditioning world.
Ah, man. Let me think. Well, I think I'd probably combine them both into a single coach. And it would probably be Tony Robbins.
Okay.
Because I've heard of the things that he's done with athletes and people with addictions and things like that.
Yeah.
And I think I would just like to kind of experience his direction that he could give me. If I could send myself, 16-year-old self, to see Tony Robbins for a single session,
yeah,
I think that would be life-changing.
Cool.
And I suppose for me, it's everything. The way you do something is the way you do everything. So if you ride committed, you go to the gym, you're committed, and all of those things, if you get a good coach like Tony Robbins, let's say, it's a bit cliche, really. He's like the ultimate life coach.
he's the big man.
Yeah. But if you get a coach that you believe in and you can learn that and live by it, then you can do anything you like. And your sport, your enjoyment, it can all be your job and your lifestyle. It can all link into the same thing. And I guess that comes from an understanding of yourself. So sports performance coach, bike sports performance coach, strength and conditioning coach. It's all about what's from what within and your desire.
Yeah.
You know, tapping into that desire, accepting that desire and committing wholeheartedly to it. So good finding stuff. A coach that'll bring that out of you, regardless of the discipline, then try and find them.
And in the absence of that, because I think Tony Robbins is quite expensive.
he's got
a few good books out there, so maybe we'll put some links to some Tony Robbins books in the show notes as well. So
Yes, definitely.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, good stuff. Well, it's been super interesting chatting. I hope it's been useful for people listening. I'm sure there's some stuff in there for them to go and bury themselves in the gym and work hard over the winter. But yeah, they will, I'm sure, see the benefits if they can stick to it, get their heads down and crack on.
Yeah, I try and also answer every email.
Okay.
So this is something that, you know, I have a desire to help people.
Yeah.
If you have questions, write me an essay and you might get a couple of lines back. It depends what day it is.
Yeah.
But I'll try and help you regardless of whether you're paying for a program or not. It's not going to be a sales pitch either. So I like to give advice for individuals, but not in the sense that I'm coaching those individuals. It's just something that I like to do.
Okay.
Until that generates 1,000 emails next week.
Yeah, until it's unmanageable.
Yes, but we will see. We will see.
Yeah. Yes. Cool. All right. And they can contact you through the website, I guess.
Yeah, info@fitforreason.com. Yeah. So there's contact forms on there, whatever.
Perfect. Yeah. All right. Thanks for your time. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks very much, Chris.
All right.
Always good.
Cheers, man.
Well, that's it for our episode with Johnny Thompson. I hope you enjoyed it and got something useful from it. Don't forget, you can find a video of all the movements that we discussed over on Johnny's YouTube channel, youtube.com/fitforracing, and also on our episode page over on the website, downtimepodcast.com. If you like what you see and you're interested in enrolling for one of Fit for Racing's programs, then as a Downtime listener, you can get 50% off your first month. Head to fitforracing.com, that's fit, then the number 4, then racing.com, and select the program of your choice, and then use the code DOWNTIME50 at the checkout. Right, we've got another great episode coming up for you soon, but until then, get out and ride.